Despite marijuana's federal Schedule I status, academics continue to discover the truth, counter the propaganda, and unlock more benefits within humanity's most beneficial plant. Join us now as we speak with the pioneering researchers in cannabis in this edition of Sensimilla Science. All right, welcome back, everybody. 30 after the hour, and today in Sensimilla Science, we've got a guest joining us to discuss the issue of drug dependence. And this is something that is very important to me in my personal history. My father was a drug and alcohol counselor for years and years and years, and it's a subject I know quite a bit about. And our guest is Joe Schrank joining us. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Russ. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
I hear you just fine.
And you thanks, do? Okay, good.
Thanks for joining us here on the show. And let's get a better introduction for you. Tell people your background and what this subject is that you want to tell us about.
Well, I'm a clinical social worker. I've worked in addictions and recovery for many years. I do interventions and crisis management, a bunch of different things. I write for various publications about the topic. But my new project is a treatment center in Los Angeles, and it's called High Sobriety. And we include cannabis in part of the protocols, and we're looking at helping people in harm reduction rather than forcing abstinence on them if they're not interested in that. And it's received a bunch of different ways, a lot of hostility and from many people, actually.
I know that the 12-step community is very strong on this idea of clean and sober, and that including all sorts of mind-altering substances except cigarettes, of course, but pretty much they are frowning on the idea of people using cannabis when they're trying to maintain sobriety. Tell folks why you think that might be a bad idea.
Well, I think it's a bad idea because I think that people arrive at different decisions at their own pace. You know, I think that if somebody is actively injecting heroin and they can replace that with cannabis, that's huge. That's a huge, huge victory. You know, and the same with alcohol. We look the other way. Alcohol kills 88,000 people a year. And if 10% of those people who are in peril of actually losing their life switch to cannabis or were able to maintain in cannabis, it's...
We had our system kick out for just a second there. I hope everyone was still able to hear you. But we are speaking with addiction specialist Joe Schrank from Los Angeles's High Sobriety Clinic. And the idea here being that it's a harm reduction measure, that if someone's got a problem with alcohol or heroin and using marijuana might help them avoid that, it's something we should be pursuing.
Without question, Russ. You know, look, there are, you know, the opiate maintenance and antagonist therapies, Suboxone or Subutex are one of those. You know, a lot of those people probably could do okay on cannabis. We certainly know that it helps the detox process. So in other words, we see a lot of people run off into the night after when you're trying to detox them from their drug of choice, if it's an opiate or if it's alcohol or even amphetamine. And cannabis can really, really help with that. And if people are wanting to replace their drug of choice with cannabis, that's something we're fully going to support because there's no lethal dose and cannabis is can in fact help with certain conditions. I believe one of them is with opiate dependence, alcohol dependence, all those kinds of things. My argument with 12-step people is that I promise them cigarettes will kill more people in 12-step recovery than cannabis ever will. Absolutely. I mean, most of them, I mean, the rates of emphysema and lung cancer among people who are in AA is huge. And it's a hard thing. I get it because I am a 12-stepper. I mean, I'm sober in AA for 20 years. You know, I don't use cannabis, but if I have arthritis in 10 years, I'll certainly consider it. You know, I mean, I'm certainly going to consider it before I would do Vicodin or, you know, something else like that. So I think that it's something that can be very beneficial and the recovery community should not be adversarial with it. We should be friends with it and we should see how it's going to help people. And maybe some people will take the step further into total abstinence and maybe they won't. And that's actually not a decision for AA. That's a decision for an individual.
Well, I'm really glad to hear you saying that. And we're checking out our chat room as well. We're live here on RadicalRust.com. A lot of people paying attention and asking a lot of questions. And one question that comes up is about the idea of marijuana dependence itself. Obviously, high sobriety would be something, you know, that accepts cannabis use for people to harm reduce for, say, heroin. But what about the claim of people being dependent on cannabis itself?
Well, then we're probably not the right place to treat cannabis dependence if it's problematic. You know, I think that we look at things in the wrong way. Addiction is very different than dependence. A dependence on something is, look, diabetics are dependent on insulin. It doesn't mean their goal is to get rid of it. I am dependent on caffeine. I can't speak in the morning before. I literally cannot form a sentence until I've had, you know, a pretty strong cup of coffee. And so I think that the idea of addiction and dependence needs to really be separated out. You know, in my mind, and I'm very steeped in this world for many years as a clinical social worker. I've been in the trenches with drug use and drug addiction for many years. And so I see a lot of death and destruction. So it's a big victory to me if a young guy, 25 years old, is able to kick something that could potentially kill him, whether it's alcohol, cocaine, pharmaceuticals, street heroin, opiate abuse, all of those things, and replace it with cannabis. That's a massive, massive victory in my mind. So the idea of you're switching from one drug to another, the answer is, yeah, that's right, you are. However, you know, you're not going to drop dead from cannabis use. And one of the interesting things about this is we've seen a lot of older people, which I wasn't expecting. So we've seen a lot of chronic alcoholics with liver damage, or they're now on medications where they can't drink any longer, whether it's a control medication for blood pressure or whatever it is. And they're not interested in sobriety in the traditional terms. They're not interested in spending their life in church basements, drinking bad coffee, and, you know, and all the sort of cultural things that we do as 12-step people. And so cannabis is a really, really great option for them. And it's very helpful for people who have had, look, we've had people who are 50-year scotch drinkers. You know, the idea of trying to force them into some kind of life, it's A, not realistic, and in my view, it's without compassion. So,
you know, there are others that I've spoken to on this issue who discuss not just the use of cannabis as a part of a sober lifestyle, so to speak, but also the idea that all-out sobriety may not necessarily be the right goal, that maybe for some people there is a moderated position they can get to with their use of alcohol or even other drugs that they could possibly survive under. What do you think of that opinion, and is that something that you would follow up and endorse?
You know, look, there are 20 million people, SAMHSA, which is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Agency, says there's 20 million Americans in need of treatment. There can't be one answer for all of those people. Their abstinence can't be the only solution for all of those people. Humans are just too diverse. Our individual brains, our culture, our family, everything that comes in to make us, and, you know, the construct of our personalities. So the idea of everybody has to be totally absent with the same plan is absurd. There are people who probably would be able to moderate their drinking. You know, my thing, as you know, when people come under my care or supervision, or they come into treatment with us, our goal is to eliminate the possibility of death. That's the first and foremost goal. If people, so, and cannabis does that. If somebody tells me, well, I'm going to drink fewer martinis, you know, my thing is, okay. I mean, it's your life, you know, that kind of a thing. If somebody says to me, I'm good, I don't really want to drink anymore. I come home, I smoke my joint, I blunt or my vape or my edible or whatever it is, however they're, and I no longer drink alcohol, that's a tremendous relief and a tremendous leap of progress for people. So I would not recommend trying to control one's drug of choice as much as I would recommend replacing with cannabis. But again, I mean, it's up to the individual. I mean, look, you know, I have teenage boys. I have all kinds of things that I want them to do, but that doesn't mean they're going to do them. You know, we just, you know, the idea that, you know, well, abstinence is the best thing. Yeah, I guess, but I'm starting to believe that abstinence only drug education is about as effective as abstinence only sex education.
Very good point. All right. We're speaking with Joe Schrank from the High Sobriety Clinic in Los Angeles, discussing the idea of cannabis-assisted sobriety. And in this discussion, we've kind of focused on the idea of cannabis as a replacement drug for a drug that another more harmful drug someone's using recreationally. But a lot of research is starting to uncover that cannabis may actually be a medicine to overcome addiction, to overcome withdrawal. What do you make of that research, and have you seen that to be true in your practice?
You know, I have seen that to be true in my practice. I mean, I think that anecdotally we can support that position. There's a lot of new research that's coming out with neurological, and I don't quite understand the whole opioid, cannabinoid. You know, I don't quite understand the science of it. But the basic gist of it is that people can be helped with withdrawal, with craving, with a lot of things that will lead them back to a dangerous behavior or the drug with a lethal dose. Again, I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir here, but as long as it's a Schedule I drug, we can't tell people empirically what it will or won't do, because there can't be clinical trials as long as the government says that there's no medicinal value, which we know is not true. There is medicinal value. I see the medicinal value every day, and I see the cultural value. I see a lot of different things. And so to just kind of lump cannabis in with heroin and cocaine and other things like that it's just wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And so I wish, you know, and I get that question a lot. Well, what does it do? I wish I could say, you know, the empiricist in me wants to say, this is what it's going to do. But we really can't do that at this point.
Yeah, very good point. We need to fight to get that rescheduling or descheduling to happen so the science can actually take place. Joe, we're just about out of time, but I want to make sure people that want to get more information on this revolutionary new method or new way of thinking in addiction to be able to contact you to get more info. So you got any websites, Facebook, phone numbers you want to give out?
We got all of it. HighSobrietyTreatment.com is the website. I'm just Joe at High Sobriety Treatment. I answer all emails. I'm very responsive. Not looking for everybody to agree with me. So if anybody has any dissenting opinions, I got an email from Kevin Sabet.
Oh, good.
So, it was delightful. Look, America needs to have this debate. We need to rethink addiction. And so I'm all for it. If people want to tell me this is a crazy idea, by all means, let's have that conversation.
Joe Schrank from High Sobriety. Check him out, highsobrietytreatment.com, for more information. Thanks so much for joining us and giving us a look at this new way of thinking. It's very, very good news for our side.
Okay. Thanks, Russ.
All right. Stay tuned, folks. And we come back, we will have more for you. My radical rant is coming up on why it is wrong to use drug testing to deny unemployment and welfare benefits. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on RadicalRuss.com. We'll be back right after these messages.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.